tell the good folk listening to PCMC what we're doing today?
Today is, we are on our way to the Christmas tree shop to look at Christmas decorations and various Christmas ephemera.
I've never been to the Christmas tree shop, so this is the first time that I'm checking it out.
Wow, I love the Christmas tree shop. It's open year-round. It's not a seasonal thing, but around Christmas, it's more Christmassy. Around Halloween, it's Halloweeny. But, you know, we're going to look at some shit. This is the sequel, sort of, to our Halloween from last year where we walked around, we walked around two places. Party City and Spirit Halloween, where we were summarily asked to leave.
Yes, I don't know why.
We had the mics out, and I think it maybe we looked like we were like, I don't know what, terrorists or something? I don't know. They were not happy with us.
Yeah, just two men recording a podcast looking at costumes.
Yeah, we're just grown men just making a podcast.
That's it. We're just creating content. I like that we're keeping it canon, and this is the thing that we do.
Yeah.
Well, this is good. This is us. This is us hanging out as we're driving up to get a warm beverage.
Nothing like a warm beverage. I'm going to get some espresso.
Okay.
What are you going to get?
I'm going to get a hot cocoa.
A hot cocoa.
I've been living off those on the road.
A lot of sugar in those.
It's all right. It's all right. When is it? Yeah, well, I'm a traveling man now, so when I've been traveling, that's a nice Maserati.
Sure.
Of course, this is the area that we're in. Maseratis, Range Rovers, and BMWs. God, the South Shore of Staten Island is so weird, dude.
Yesterday, I was at an Italian restaurant, not to brag about my lifestyle, and there was a valet. And while I was waiting for my car, I'm going to call him an Italian man, drives up with a Rolls Royce, and he fucking, you know, he can't just give the keys to the kid. He's got to give the kid fucking instructions.
Yeah.
He was like, park it, and then in an hour, I want you to turn it around. Like, he's like, you got to rotate it or something.
Why?
I have no idea, but the kid was like, yeah, all right, mister.
Okay, sir.
Yeah.
Car.
And I was like, oh, I guess this is fucking, it was a restaurant I'd never been to. And
the fact that you're even going out to a restaurant is really impressive.
I know.
Like, I'm impressed that you actually went out to a restaurant to eat.
I had the eggplant parm. Now, as you know, I'm an eggplant parm connoisseur.
I know. You love it.
Anytime I go to a Italian restaurant, I get the eggplant parm. Mm. And I'm making a little guide in my head of the best eggplant parm. You know where the best eggplant parm is in New York City?
No, where?
Tony's. Tony's on, fuck. Where is it?
I've never heard of Tony's.
It's a fucking great. It's all family style.
Okay.
It's delicious. I had a fucking espresso. It tasted like fine mahogany.
Look at you.
It wasn't bitter.
It was nice.
Yeah.
You smelled the oak and the richness within the beans.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the espresso. Now, the espresso where I was last night, it was a little muddy.
A little muddy?
A little muddy. It did the trick, but the espresso at Tony's. Tony's di Napoli. Tony's of Naples.
Okay.
I believe that's what it's called.
Hey, listen, you know better than I. I don't.
Anyway, it's fucking, I enjoy an Italian meal.
I'm shocked. There's a whole new you.
Do you like eggplant parmesan?
I love eggplant parmesan. I Nona's house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you actually saying you're Nona's or a restaurant called Nona's house?
No, I wish it was a restaurant called Nona's house, but no, it's...
There is a restaurant on...
Oh, I know which one you're talking about, but the old Nona's. Italian ladies. Yeah, that's in Bay Street. We should go there.
Yeah, every, like, weekend's a different old Italian grandma.
And you gotta order from what they do. You can't skimp on the menu. So us with our, like, vegan-y food allergy
the
bullshit.
The scats, yeah!
Exactly. Your skin and bones!
Oh!
That would happen. I've never seen a drive-thru before for a Starbucks.
Oh, yeah. I think this is, this is the one I always go to when I'm in this side of the
this
fucking...
This is so first world, too. It's like, we just couldn't have went in. I have a gift card.
First world issues? First world problems?
Yeah, this is just first world decadence.
I know. Merry Christmas, Emilio.
Thank you, Michael. Merry Christmas to you, too.
How are you feeling?
I'm good.
You ready to order?
I'm ready to order.
This is some real gorilla...
Ooh, I know.
...podcast.
I know. I can't wait for them to hear what we want.
Can I get a Grande Americano?
Hot or iced?
Hot.
All right.
Nothing in it. And right. A grande hot chocolate?
There you go.
Sure. Anything else?
That's it.
I'll give you your total out the window.
Okay.
You want to use the gift card?
She does not sound happy. Oh, I mean, if it's on you,
it's on me.
You.
It's on me.
I'm not going to look a gift horse in the mouth.
This is my one of my little Christmas gift to you.
Do you know what that means?
What?
When you buy a horse, you check its teeth and its hooves to see if it's healthy. So if I give you a horse, you don't want to look the gift horse in the mouth. That's like saying, oh, you gave me something? Well, let me check to see if it's good.
Let me check to see if it works. Okay.
Okay?
I get it now.
And this is Colloquial Corner with Mike Fajardo.
Wow, man. You know, you learn something new here on Pop Culture Man Children.
On PCMC.
Oh.
Big rebrand.
Oh, it is.
Big rebrand.
Okay. I'm so used to calling it the whole thing.
Nah, that whole mouthful. We did that for 100 episodes.
I know. We're good now. We're good. So this is PCMC.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, no, man. So I love Starbucks now.
But you don't love the coffee.
No, just the hot chocolate.
The cafe. Now, if you go to the Nona restaurant, she's going to be like, you want some cafe?
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Oh, it's good for you. Make you grow.
No.
Where'd you get this gift card?
Yeah, people give me things.
All right. I don't know why it's got to be mysterious, but fine.
People give me things.
I get things from people.
So, I have a couple. That's all they do. They give me gift cards. You're on the road. Here, have a gift card.
Lovely.
Oh, thank you very much.
That's very lovely.
Sweet. That's very sweet of you. I appreciate that. Thank you.
$6.97, please. What is that?
Oh, we're recording a podcast. I like the fact that Starbucks, they can wear anything as a uniform.
Yeah, because they're people.
They are people.
Thank you.
How much coffee have you served today?
A lot.
None,
right?
Because I've been stocking stuff, and then I'm here now.
Okay.
Only like a couple cups.
Well, you are...
Are you talking about actual coffee or just drinks in general?
Just drinks in general. You slinging drinks all day today? Wow. All right.
Have fun.
She had exquisite eyebrows, too. I'm a fan of a good eyebrow.
They were...
A good arch? Oh, my God. I'll love you forever if you have a good arch.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what you like about me?
Yes, you have a great arch.
I gotta say, I don't have a lot... Not on my feet, though. Very flat-footed, but my eyebrows...
Your eyebrows are amazing.
What an arch.
Let me tell you something, pal. Your eyebrow arch is great.
Thank you. My eyebrow game... I'm so good at it, I'm not even playing it.
No, you gotta...
I don't even know what that means.
No, it means you're in it. You're in it. You're so good that you're the Michael Jordan of eyebrow arches.
Thank you. So, Emilio...
Yeah, man.
I'm so excited to be spending Christmas with you.
Me too. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Me neither.
Wow, this is delicious.
Salud.
It's delicious.
Ah, salud. Ah!
Well, now, do you do the Feast of Seven Fishes? I never think we've ever had this conversation.
Back in the day, back when I was a younger person and we had, the family was all together and there was a lot of people and, you know, everyone was alive and well, you know, the good old days, we did the fishes.
Okay.
Now, you know, I spend a lot of time with my immediate family. I don't see the extended as much. Everybody's gone off in different places. Fucking Brendan lives in God knows where. But isn't Staten Island beautiful in the holiday season?
Sure.
I mean, the weather outside is frightful. Look at this.
It's perfect. It's the miracle of Christmas.
This is good espresso.
That's a big espresso. I thought espressos are supposed to be little.
This is a grande.
Like, in a cup, though. Like in one of those little shot glasses.
Well, this is an Americano, which means two shots of espresso and some hot water to sort of blend it out. You ready to go in this establishment?
I'm very, very excited.
How are the levels looking? They looking all right?
Yeah, it's actually, we should just keep it like this.
All right.
It's on you. It's your call. It's your show. PCMC.
If the levels are good, the levels are good.
I like your DuckTales shirt.
Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, I'm all in on Disney Plus.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
I have been watching, making my way through it because it's tedious. I've been watching Fantasia.
That's tedious, or Disney Plus is tedious?
Fantasia's tedious.
I have no desire to watch that.
I mean, it's seven stories. It's basically, the point of Fantasia is classical music set to animation.
How long is this thing?
It's not, it's like 2 hours, but, you know, it's just an experiment. There's no story to it. So it's, I usually watch in the morning. I get up early and I watch a little Fantasia, and it's all abstract and shit.
It's the best way to start your day.
A little Fantasia?
What is it about? Like, is it,
it's not about anything.
Isn't that in a hat? The fucking mouse is in a hat?
The most famous story is a story with Mickey Mouse as the magician's apprentice.
And he wears the hat.
He steals the magician's hat because that's Mickey. Where the power is.
Fucking Mickey.
And he He's supposed to be getting buckets of water for the magician, but he's being a lazy mouse. So he enchants the broom and makes the broom go get the water. But he doesn't know how to stop him, so the place ends up flooding. It's a whole mishigas.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like I don't want to watch this. I have no desire to watch any of the movies. I'm just going to watch, like, television series.
Okay.
I'm going to go back and watch Gargoyles.
Gargoyles.
Which I assume is the most overrated cartoon ever.
Well, recently on the show, Janine Gagliardi said it's the most punk rock thing Disney ever did.
Gargoyles?
Yeah.
Now I have to see this. You know, I still have not met Janine Gagliardi. And she's very close friends with two very close friends of mine.
That's true. I don't know how you haven't been Nancy's friend so long.
I don't know. And she's also very good friends with my cousin Vin.
Really?
Yes. She sees Vin more than I see Vin.
I don't know what you're doing.
I'm traveling towns, baby. Creating stuff.
Creating content.
I have over 25,000 frequent flyer miles.
Whoa. Holy shit.
Yeah, man. For a guy that did not like to go on planes, my God, what a reality check this has been.
Now, where do you sit? You sit in business? You sit in first class? You're back there in fucking...
No, I'm sitting business class, babe.
Business?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm good. I have a little leg room.
Hmm.
I like to sit in the aisle.
Yeah.
I tell the people before, listen, go to the bathroom now because I ain't getting up.
So you make it uncomfortable right off the bat.
Yes.
With the people sitting next to you.
I got my neck pillow on. I got my Sounds of the Rain. I'm going to sleep.
And how do they usually react to this?
They're all right. I buy them a drink. I expense it.
Nice.
And then they're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. But I tell them, don't move.
Okay.
Don't move. I'm not getting up for you to go pee 9,000 times.
Have you had any turbulence? Have you had any scary moments?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, going to, of all places, Florida. It was the worst.
Really?
Yeah, it was the worst turbulence ever.
Really?
Yeah, I got really like, oh, shit, what is this? Why are there sky speed bumps?
Oh, God.
And you're shaking really bad.
Isn't the sky speed bumps, isn't that like hot air or cold air? It's some sort of pocket of something, and it makes the plane go...
I'm not Bill Nye. I don't know how it works. All I know is I got to sit there, and I'm in a tube, and we're traveling like 20,000 miles a minute. I don't know how far feet... We're up in the sky, like really high.
Okay.
And it's making me nervous. I keep the window down. I never look out the window. Like, even when like the people want to look at the window, I'll be that guy. I'll be like... My anxiety, you gotta lower that window.
You sound like a real asshole to fly with.
I'm a peach.
All right, you ready to go on the Christmas tree shop, hon?
I am.
We can finish our hot beverages when we get back.
Mine's done. Get out of the car. Yeah, I'll turn down the recording level.
All right, here we are. We're in the Christmas tree shop.
Oh, look, they sell pasta.
Hanukkah pasta. They look like little Star Davids. This isn't a bad bit. This is genuinely a product we're looking at.
No, it's everything. It's dreidels, it's pasta, the Stars of David, there's a menorah. This is cool, man.
Oh, that's a menorah. I was looking at it upside down. I thought it was Mandalorian's helmet.
Ah. American flag t-shirts.
Of course. Do you have a Christmas tree up?
In my house?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
We've got the big one in the living room, the family one.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the basement, where I do a lot of the recording, we have, I've got a little one. And then up in my bedroom, I've got one of the old-fashioned porcelain ones that everyone's grandma had.
Nice.
Remember the one?
Those are Shiny Brights.
Right.
It was actually a company called Shiny Brights, and Shiny Brights would make porcelain and, you know, Christmas trees and ornaments and things of that nature. So you probably have a Shiny Bright.
And it looks like, it looked kind of like Light Bright, right?
Yes.
Like you put the little things in. Oh, I'm loving it.
Shiny. I have a little tree as well. I do. It's in my room. I didn't put it up. I come home from Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and I see that there's a tree up. And my initial reaction is, oh, my brother did this because he's the king of Christmas.
Right.
And no, it was my mother, actually.
Now, does your brother still have an Elvis tree?
No, this year it's different. He didn't put the Elvis ornaments up. He has a 6-foot tree in his bedroom. And it's has like, I got him some wrestling Christmas ornaments.
Okay.
So those are up on the tree. And, you know, a lot of religious stuff.
Okay.
He likes the god.
I remember last year, It was all Elvis themed.
Yeah. This year he just put up whatever he wanted. He wanted just a nice little look.
We're looking at ornaments right now.
Do you collect ornaments? Because you seem like you collect nonsense.
You're absolutely right. I do collect nonsense, and I have not started collecting ornaments yet. But I got to tell you, I see some good ornaments, and I'm like, should I start the collection now? Because you know me, when I start, it's gonna
it's gonna be an issue. Keep on going. But what type of ornaments are you like? Do you want to get like? What's the scene for the ornaments? Like, is there like a theme? Like people really are into collecting ornaments.
Well, I like the kind of like Christmassy handmade shit that like we're looking at now. Like this is a. This looks like a Rudolph. It's like just a piece of wood. But then I also like the, you know.
Is it repurposed wood?
I don't know.
I hope that it is.
Requires.
No.
No. It's cheap wood, though.
Yeah. Well, I was hoping that it would be environmentally friendly because they like to do the repurposed wood.
Yeah.
See, this one has character because both. This one's missing an antler.
Mm.
So that's why I would just get this off rip because it's missing an antler.
Yeah.
So to me, I just think character.
Ooh, look at this. Jingle bells.
Is this like more of the country Christmas section? Because this is cozy.
It's very rustic. It's very rustic.
Cozy Christmas.
It looks homemade.
Let's see what else. Oh, wait.
Where are we going? Look at this giant nutcracker.
What every home needs. What every home needs.
A giant nutcracker.
I've never understood why people love to watch the Nutcracker. Is it a it's a Christmas ballet?
Yeah, it takes place on Christmas Eve. Bum, 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 bum. One of the things in Fantasia is the Nutcracker, but it's not but the animation's not Nutcracker.
So you don't see this. You don't see guys with mustaches and rosy cheeks.
No, I forget what you say. I think it's little fairies flying around. Now, do you get as upset when you see Santa in other clothing as I do?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Right now we're watching, he's wearing a sort of blue blazer?
Sailing. He's sailing. This is a love boat, Santa.
Oh, right, because the boat's missing out of that.
It's a schooner.
It's a schooner, you dumb bastard.
Yeah, I don't like this. Like, I don't like Peacock Santa. He's dressed up like he's on the Vegas Strip.
He kind of looks like more of a Father Christmas-y type.
See, now, what's the difference between Father Christmas and Santa Claus? But isn't Santa Claus Father?
One's a Christian and one's a unchristianized version of the same idea. Basically.
Is it the same guy giving presents with the white beard?
Yeah, it just depends on where in the world I think you're getting it from. Now, we're looking at ornaments with names on it.
Yeah.
Now, as an Emilio, when you were a kid, did you have a hard time finding Emilio name things?
I still do. There's no Emilio anything.
Let's see. We're looking here. I see an Alexander, a Kayla, a Megan without the H, a Kelly. I feel like this is all for Irish kids.
A Savannah.
A Lily. A Savannah. Okay.
An Adam.
A Jennifer. An Adam. I'm not seeing Emilio Sparks.
Let's see. You'll never see an Emilio Sparks. There's a Taylor. There's a Kathy. There's a Lily.
Jenna. Well, these are all hip. This is the hipster aisle.
Jackson. Julia.
I like the Santa Claus because he's like fat. He's like a fat little bull.
You know, I think these are just for millennials who name their children like Jackson.
Yeah.
Patricia. Rebecca. Sarah.
Yeah.
Lauren, Allison, Justin.
Mackenzie.
Look, wow, there's several Mackenzie, different ones, too. That's like you could have a whole bunch of Mackenzies. Nathan, Ethan, Brittany.
These are pretty white, too.
God, these are the whitest names ever, dude. Heather, Kim, Abigail.
Abigail.
Sydney.
Do you have any, on my mother's tree, she has some things we made when we were in kindergarten still on the tree.
God, no. No. My mother, it's you don't even touch the tree. She decorates the tree. She puts all the knickknacks. She's a shiny bright woman. She likes shiny. There's no sense of, this was what my sons made us years ago. There's no sentimentality.
None of that at all. No, I guess in kindergarten I made like a little tree with my picture in it. My mother still puts it on the tree.
Yeah, no, there's no sentimentality. No, that's dead and gone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So sorry to hear that.
Merry Christmas. See, I like these things too.
Santa hats?
No. The countdown to Christmas calendars.
Yeah.
From 1 to 24. When I was little, we had one. I think we still have it. It was like a little mouse. He was like sleep in the pouch.
Uh-huh.
And we would count every morning. And we would make him do sit-ups because it was like a little like
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cute. It was
last year I did the Lego Star Wars advent calendar, where every day there'd be a little Star Wars Lego, and I so enjoyed it.
Do you wear the Christmas hats?
No.
You get Disney ones.
No, I've never worn a Christmas hat. I mean, like, I've never been in a situation where it's like, oh, it's Christmas time, let me put on the hat.
Yeah, I don't like standard cliches in that aspect. I'm like, oh, I gotta put a hat on because now you're dictating to me I gotta put a hat on?
Right.
I like to wear my hat.
Yeah, I feel like Christmas can expand. I feel like in the last couple of years, Halloween has expanded more. You see more of a Latinx thing going on. Maybe it's because Coco came out and we're learning more about other, like, Day of the Dead. But I feel like Christmas, it's still, there's still more we got to do. Boy, there's a whole nutcracker wall here.
What every household needs, a karate nutcracker.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. He's got a little gi on.
There's a nurse nutcracker, that's nice. There's a soccer nutcracker. I want to see where the Gene Simmons nutcracker is. Where is that?
It, you know it's going to be officially branded to KISS.
There's a football nutcracker, and then there's nutcracker minis.
Sure.
Now, did these actually used to crack nuts, or were they always just decorative?
These ones here look like they would fall apart if you actually tried to do that. But I guess...
I think the nutcrackers are just ugly. It's very ugly. Like, they don't have chins. It's just a mouth.
Oh, I mean, the mouth... They can't have chins.
Why can't you have a chin?
Because it would get in the way.
You mean to tell me...
You need the space underneath for it to move.
But you can't put a little chin underneath? Like,
well, that's why they have the little beard. The beard is like the chin.
No, but the beard is coming out of the mouth. Look at it. Like, look at this. Like, would assume, like, this is... Like, it's grown out of his tongue.
Yeah, that's true.
Look, all you see gums... Mm-hmm. And then beard. It makes no sense.
I'm sorry. I didn't... I'm so sorry.
See, this is why I can't decorate for Christmas, because it's too logical.
To get all these problems.
There's more names. Let's see. There's Mary, Megan, Melissa, Mia. Madeline, Madison, Makea, Maria. Lauren, Leah, Mackenzie. Olivia, Paige, Peyton, Rachel. Rebecca, Riley, Samantha, Sarah. Sarah, Savannah, Sophia, Sophie,
mm-hmm.
Stephanie, Sydney, Taylor, Vanessa, Victoria, Zoe, Aiden, Alexander, Andrew, Anthony, Austin, Benjamin, Brandon, Braden, Brian, Cameron.
Braden. I've never met a Braden in my life.
Now wait, we're almost at the E's. Christian, Christopher, Connor, Daniel, David, Dylan, Elijah, Eric, Ethan.
And Gavin. So no Emilio. Screwed again. Ooh, look at this nice little train.
Were you a train guy? Does the train go around the Christmas tree?
I have the Lego Christmas train.
Wait, so you have a Christmas tree built out of Legos?
No, I have a Christmas train.
And that's under your mother's tree?
No, it's around my Lego Christmas village.
Where is the Lego Christmas village?
It's usually in the living room.
Does it stay out all year, or do you put it away?
No, I bring it out every year. It grows every year, too.
Okay.
This year, I added a Lego...
Why'd you laugh?
never mind. Look at this gingerbread, man.
LED...
$69.99.
I would never... Do you have outside stuff?
Not really, no.
You're not an outside guy?
I don't trust these cretins.
No, right? No, obviously.
When I was in high school, I used to steal people's lawn ornaments, so I imagine there are other little creeps like I was.
So your parents don't decorate the front of the house?
They put, like, I think they had, like, a blow-up soldier guy at some point.
Now that is lazy Christmas shopping. That is just lazy Christmas decorating.
Why do you say that?
Because it's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to drop this here. I'm going to put this here.
Yeah.
I'm going to plug that in there.
Okay. Go.
And that's it. I'm done.
And you're going to go like this, and $1 billion is going to be...
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Just make sure I'm next to you.
I got you, boss.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
It's fine. Ooh, mugs.
You're a mug guy, right?
I love mugs.
Would you like your double shot Americano with a little water?
Yes. I like a mug. It says joy on it. I love a little mug.
Reindeer.
All right. Are you thoroughly disappointed?
Gnome for the holiday?
All right. With that, we're going to take a break. I'm here with Emilio Sparks. Emilio?
Yes, Michael.
How you doing? Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. How are you?
Oh, I'm fantastic. So, what I want to do for today is I want to talk about our top five. You know the kids on the internet, they love a list.
Oh, they do.
Our top five favorite Christmas songs.
What's the point if you can't play them on here?
I'm going to sing them.
Oh, you're going to sing them?
And I think the audience knows them.
Oh, do you think they do?
Yeah.
So you think they know Wham! Last Christmas?
Yes, there was just a movie all about it.
Do you think that they know Baby, It's Cold Outside?
Of course they do.
Do you think they know All I Want for
it's
Christmas?
It's controversial. Although I've changed my stance on that song.
So you don't think it's rapey?
I now am of another camp where it is about a woman who wants to have sex with a man, but because of patriarchal society's double standard towards female sexuality, she has to pretend that she doesn't. So we have to appreciate women's lives and their choices and say that, it is, we support her. And she shouldn't have to pretend that she doesn't want to.
But there's a lyric, hey, what's in this drink?
Yes, but that was a saying at the time that the song was written, which was kind of like, when you'd say, hey, what's in this drink, it kind of meant like...
What's in the actual drink?
No, it she wasn't genuinely asking, have you drugged me?
Oh, okay.
It means like, oh, you slipped me a Mickey, or, you know what I mean? It's again,
isn't
it's a
Mickey,
saying.
But isn't a Mickey considered?
Right, but it's no, but it's not. She's not. She's coming up with excuses to explain her own desires when what we really should be wishing for her is that she can just enjoy sex with whoever she wants.
Mm.
Hey, Emilio, let's support all experiences. Do you have a list of songs?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Did you jot something down?
I mean, guy, come on. I'm a music guy.
Okay.
You tell me yours. What's your number one?
I want to go 5-1.
So let's go 5-1.
You ready? You prepared?
I'm going to open up the little notepad. All right. I wrote like 20.
Number five is The Score to Die Hard. No, I'm just kidding. But
I would agree with that.
But you can imagine somebody doing that, couldn't you?
Well, if you listen to like... some of the stuff that Die Hard was doing in the movie, in the diegesis of the music, there was the caroling of the bells, but it was their version.
Yeah, but just making fun of those neckbeards who are like, hey, guess what?
It's a Christmas movie.
It's a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
All right. Number five, I think, is you're going to find it controversial because it's from an artist I have said frequently that I don't like.
Frank Sinatra?
Frank Sinatra.
That's a good album.
Frank Sinatra's Jingle Bells, specifically because I like the opening where it's like, I got those J-I-N-G-L-E
bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E B-E-L-L. Let me tell you something. I have a special connection with
jingle
that song.
Bells, you jingle dummy. Jingle bells, you
dum-dum. I love that because I used to use that during the holidays when I was doing my shitty college radio show at that shitty college radio station. And I would always open up the holidays with that. Like, so for the entire month of December, that was the intro.
I love it.
It's a great song.
For the intro alone, I love it.
Yeah, man.
And you know I don't like Frank.
No, you don't.
I'm a Dino guy.
Yes, you
through
are.
Through and through.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
What's your number five?
Merry Christmas, Baby by Otis Redding.
Now, give me a few bars of that.
Merry Christmas, baby. Sure did you treat me right. Merry Christmas, baby. Bought me a diamond ring for Christmas.
I've never heard that.
Oh, my God. Otis Redding is so good, dude.
Is that...
Otis Redding sang Sitting on the Dock of the Bay.
Yes. Now, is this a deep cut?
It's a deep cut.
This isn't one you hear a lot.
I mean, I hear it, but, you know, it's from Warner Brothers.
Okay.
You know, it's a Warner Chapel. It's good, man. 1967.
67.
Yeah.
And what is it about? What's going on in it?
Merry Christmas, baby. I'm wishing you a Merry Christmas, baby, and a Happy New Year. Merry Christmas, honey. Everything here is beautiful.
He's calling from the
road. I love you, baby. Yeah, he's calling from the road. He's a hard-working man just trying to get a diamond to his woman. And he's saying that he loves you and he'll be home soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. And that he feels like he's in paradise every time he's with her, and when they buy each other nice things and just love each other.
Wow.
It's a good record. You should listen to it. I think you should.
I will. Listen to it. I love it.
And so that's the only thing I can carry a tune with.
Okay. Well, all right. My number four is... I tell you why I like it.
What?
I like a Christmas song you could jerk off to.
What? How is that a possible thing?
I like a Christmas song you jerk off to.
Okay.
So, of course, I'm talking about Eartha Kitt's Santa Baby.
Oh, well, I mean...
I mean, let's look at some of these lyrics. Santa Baby, slip a stable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl. Santa Baby, hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney.
You
get what she's saying.
Yeah, but to be honest, I think the lyrics were written way before Eartha. I just think Eartha is singing it in a sexy Eartha Kitt tone.
I feel like these are dirty lyrics. I mean, yes, she puts a lot of stink on it. But I really feel like, I mean, hurry down the chimney. Come on.
Hurry down the chimney tonight. Because she wants to see Santa Claus.
It is a filthy song that's not appropriate for children to hear.
I think it is. Santa Baby, hurry down the chimney tonight.
And then she's asking for a ring. I forgot to mention one little thing. A ring.
A ring.
And I don't mean on the phone.
I don't blame her. Gotta get the ring.
Think of all the fun I've missed. Think of all the fellas that I haven't kissed. Next year I could be also good if you check off my Christmas list. It's dirty. It's okay. A dirty, dirty song. She's saying fuck me in the ass.
I don't think so.
What? All right. How would you? All right. Let's. All right.
Could you read that again, please?
Can I give you a hypothetical scenario?
Sure. Why not?
You walk into a room.
Yeah.
There's a woman.
Uh-huh.
She's nude.
Okay.
She looks you in the eyes.
Okay.
And she says, hurry down the chimney tonight. Now, what do you think she's asking for?
Well, is there a chimney in the room?
No, there's no chimney.
So there's no Christmas role play. I'm not wearing a Santa cosplay outfit.
No, she's wearing nothing but a smile. And you're wearing, you know, whatever you wear.
My birthday suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's saying, hurry. In earnest, she's looking in your eyes and saying, hurry down the chimney tonight.
Now, I don't know if the chimney actually represents the anal cavity. I think the chimney could be various orifices that something can enter.
The only problem is the down. If she said, hurry up the chimney tonight.
Well, I would assume hurry up the chimney tonight would be for the back end. And hurry down the chimney would probably be...
Mouth?
Yeah. Yeah, so maybe there's an oral. Wow, this is wow.
This is Christmas.
All right, Andrew Mike Clay.
Andrew Mike Clay. All right, what's your number four?
I'm still trying to resonate why anal and oral sex would be hurry down the chimney tonight. That's scarring.
You can just hear how wet she is. This podcast is rated E.
For everyone.
Nope.
For everyone?
For extreme content. All right, explicit.
Well, this one, my number four, is Step Into Christmas by Elton John.
Ooh, give me a little bit of that.
Dude, Elton John, that shit slaps, dude. Ready? Yeah. All right, I'm not going to sing it because welcome to my Christmas song. I'd like to thank you for the year. So I'm sending you this Christmas card to say it's nice to have you here.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to sing about all the things your eyes and mine can see. So hop aboard the turntable and step into Christmas with me.
I love it.
Isn't that cute?
What era is this from?
Step Into Christmas was... oh, God, he still had hair at this point, balding hair. I would assume the 70s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you see the movie? Did you see the Rocket Man?
I have not. Is it better than Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, light years. Light years better.
So will the actor that played Elton John be nominated for an Academy Award?
I hope so.
He was that good?
He was great.
So it was better than Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, Bohemian Rhapsody is really overrated film.
Was that just a movie the kids just enjoyed because We Will Rock You and We Are the Champions?
So.
Okay.
I think it had a weird moment. But it didn't deserve all the accolades.
I just Googled Step Into Christmas.
Yeah?
73. Yeah, 73.
All right.
73.
My number three is called Christmas Time in Hollis, Queens by Run DMC. It was December 21st on Hollis Avenue in the dark when I see a man chilling with his dog in the park. I approached very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog. Oh, my God, an ill reindeer.
It's the best Christmas song ever. It was the best Christmas song ever. I don't know why it's number three. It should be number one.
Rice and stuff and macaroni and cheese. And Santa put gifts on the Christmas trees. Decorate the house with lights at night. Snow's on the ground, Snow White so bright. In the fireplace is the Yule log. Beneath the mistletoe we drink eggnog. Great song.
It's fucking awesome, dude.
I believe it's in Die Hard.
It is. It's actually the...
Great video, it's too, the
first,
by the way.
It's the first Christmas song that you hear, so when he's in...
It sets the scene.
When he's in... It's actually, not the first song in the movie, I don't think, but... Or maybe it is, because you're hearing, like, all the airport clatter.
I believe it's with the drivers listening to.
Yes, when they are in the limousine, and, you know, he's
What's
talking about...
What's that dude's name? What's that character's name? Fuck.
Just keep on driving the car. What does he say? Oh, my God, what was the name?
It's, like, on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
Fuck. But yeah, I think
so he pops in, he's like, don't you get so basically, like, the limousine driver is trying to, you know, just talk and be friendly.
Yeah.
And McClane is being an asshole.
Sure.
And, you know,
he's going through a rough divorce.
And I guess he opens up and he tells the kid, you know, a divorce, and he's like, don't you got any Christmas music? And then boom, you hear Christmas and Hollis.
Yeah.
And he's like, Is this a Christmas song? And he's like, this is the Christmas song. And I was like, you know what?
Argyle.
And I was like, you know what? It is the Christmas song.
Yeah.
I'm a little pissed Argyle wasn't in the sequel.
No.
I would have liked to have seen Argyle in the sequel.
I agree.
Like, so, he moved from LA to Dulles, Washington.
He just followed him around.
Just followed him around.
What is your number three, sir?
Okay. See, it was difficult because I wanted to do something super old or something super new.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I was torn between The Beach Boys, Little Saint Nick, and I'll Be Home for Christmas by Michael Bublé.
I don't like the boobs.
Why?
I don't like them.
Why?
I feel like he's just a gimmick. He's a crooner in a time where there are no crooners. But if he was back then, he wouldn't stand a chance against the other guys.
No, he wouldn't. Against Bing, Frank, and Sammy?
No.
He wouldn't have had a chance.
No.
No, he would have had no chance whatsoever. None.
Take that shit to fucking Idaho.
Oh, I think that's where a bulk of his sales go. But I can't see him being a big deal, let's say, in the Copacabana in 1960.
No.
In a tux.
No. Come on, kid.
That was Sinatra's place.
No.
That was Nat King Cole's place.
In the Entourage, that's what I call sub Rickles in the Entourage.
Oh, he's
you're
way
not
below
even
Rickles.
Close
no.
enough to
Rickles,
be the fucking punching bag.
Oh, Rickles would abuse him.
Yeah.
Rickles would be like, who is this fucking ham and egg? Get him out of here.
This ham and egg.
Yeah, you can't fuck around with it.
Go live up in the mountains and not bother anybody.
Yeah, get out of here. You can't sing. Yeah, you're trying to copy Frank. That's the king. Kiss the ring. But yeah, so you know what?
Yeah.
I'll go with Little Saint Nick then.
Little Saint Nick.
That's a good, yeah, man. The Beach Boys with their harmonies and shit, dude.
Yeah.
Come on. They probably had some of the best harmonies of all time.
Yes.
Like five-man harmony.
Oof. It was pop music, but like...
Good pop music.
With like an insane genius behind it.
Yes.
You mean like just that perfectionist... Like, I'm gonna find sounds out in the world, and, yeah.
Well, he was on a lot of psychedelics and cocaine at that point.
Yes.
So that's why the genius was, like, really magnified.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie to you. That's why, like, it came out, Little Saint Nick came out, like, right before Pet Sounds.
They call Brian Wilson the Mozart of pop music.
He's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's brilliant. Sit and listen to Pet Sounds, and then listen to...
Yeah, and
try not to cry.
Pet Sounds is great.
It's one of my favorite albums.
Yeah.
But actually, if you think about it, the better talented brother was Dennis Wilson. And Dennis did an album that not a lot of people knew, but now it's like this cult classic.
Really?
Yeah, and it was called Pacific Ocean Blue. So good.
And Dennis, you think he's better?
I think he is, because Dennis and Carl are responsible for the song Forever. Dennis wrote it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. The song that made John Stamos famous.
Really?
Oh, I mean, that's the song that was Uncle Jesse. It was Rebecca. It was every word I said.
So my number two is from the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Oh, I was waiting for this.
It Feels Like Christmas.
I was fucking waiting for this.
It's in the singing of a street corner choir. It's going home and getting warm by the fire. It's true wherever you find love. It feels like Christmas. That's, I mean, look, I've talked about it so many times on the show.
You love it. It's your song.
It is the best version of the Christmas Carol ever made. A cup of kindness that we share with another. A sweet reunion with a friend or a brother. In all the places you find love, it feels like Christmas.
Mm.
It is the season of the heart.
What's your number two?
Burl Ives, Holly Jolly Christmas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it's like a minute and 29 seconds. It's the most simplest song in the world,
dude. A lot of those old Christmas songs are really short, though.
Yeah, but this one just repeats the same, like, it's just the same structure real quick, like, verse, chorus, verse, out, done, see you later.
Well, we've been picking a lot of interesting choices, but when we talk about the more classic stuff.
See, I like the classic stuff.
Me too, but what do you gravitate towards? Do you gravitate towards the more Christian stuff? Do you gravitate more towards the sort of fun Santa-y stuff?
It depends. I like Ave Maria. I think that's a really good record.
Mm-hmm.
O Tannenbaum is a really good one.
I like the Bing Crosby.
Fuck you.
David Bowie, Little Drummer Boy. Every child must be made aware.
Ba-rum-pa-pum-pum.
Every child must be.
He died after that, too.
Bing?
Yeah. Shortly afterwards.
That's good.
I just think he didn't know. He's like, I'm not
a terrible person.
A horrible man. Horrible individual.
But, you
scumbag
know.
Scumbag piece of shit.
But, yeah, I don't, you know.
How could you not, like, have a holly jolly Christmas? It's the best time of the year. I don't know if there'll be snow, but have a cup of cheer. Have a holly jolly Christmas, and when you walk down the street, say hello to friends you know and everyone you meet. Oh, who the mistletoe hung where you can see. Somebody waits for you. Kiss her once for me.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
How could you not get hyped up for that? Like, yeah, I get fucking lit listening to that song.
It's funny because it's all like programmed into our brains, you know what I mean?
Of course it is.
Like, I listen to a Christmas song, I hear the first fucking second of it, I'm like, I know what this is.
Exactly. I remember being a child listening to 101.1 WCBS FM,
mm-hmm.
and they would, you know, it would be like Christmas music for like two straight days before Light FM made an entire month out of it.
I know.
And they play shitty Christmas songs.
I know.
Like, I like the classic stuff. My brother likes more of the modern stuff.
Yeah.
But give me, like, the classics.
I agree.
Give me Gene Autry.
Are there any Christmas songs that you straight up fucking hate, you can't stand?
I just don't listen to them.
I mean, the obvious choice is a lot of people like to shit on All I Want for Christmas Is You by Mariah Carey.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that one.
It's all right. I don't think it's the worst thing
ever. No, every girl posts that on their Instagram stories.
I think if there's one Christmas song that I never liked, it's Do You Hear What I Hear? It just annoys me. Do you hear what I hear? A child.
That has more of a religious connotation to it.
But it's not even that I don't like. I just don't like the music of it. The musicality of it.
Ah, so you don't like the composition.
Yeah, I don't like the composition of that one. That's not one of my faves.
Okay.
I also don't like the fucking I forget who it is, but you know that like fucking epic like Carol of the Bells. I feel like I'm playing Tetris with that. I don't like that.
All right. What is your what's your next one?
My number one. My all-time favorite Christmas song. This comes to you from the supergroup Band-Aid. Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, wow.
It's Christmas time. We let in light and we vanish hate.
And in our world
of plenty. It's such a... It's funny because It's not depressing like Christmas Shoes is, but it's a downer, and
it's so fucking depressing.
And it's trying to make you feel bad about enjoying yourself, which I kind of love because it's still a fucking.
So it's just
still
a,
good.
So it's just a bunch of rich limey Brits trying to like sing, but they're not donating money.
No.
They just decide to get into a studio to sing a song.
But it slaps.
It does.
It gets me hyped.
It does.
Even though it's saying to me, I mean, look, the only water flowing is the bitter sting of tears. That's a line in this Christmas song.
Yeah, but it's probably saying, but like Boy George, Sting, and like the guys from Tears of Fears.
Yeah.
Because it was all English, right? They were all English.
Right, basically.
All
English. Bob Geldof was the man behind it.
That's the guy that starred in Harry Potter with the long white beard, right?
No. That's actually, you're thinking of Gandalf from Lord of the Rings.
Oh.
That was a hat on a hat. No, I like, and I like the long version where it it stops in the middle or sort of like goes into low gear and you hear the celebrities talking. And it's like, hi, this is Paul McCartney, and I'm wishing you a...
And there's also a Phil Collins drum solo, too.
Yeah. Well, the best part is you hear a bunch of people. It's like, I'm fucking whatever from Bananarama or whatever. And then there's a beat.
Yeah.
And then you hear, this is David Bowie.
Yeah, he just stops. He comes in. He was like God.
Yeah.
He just walked in. He was like, oh, shit, Bowie's here.
Yeah.
We got fucking this Bowie.
He don't even sing on the record. No, he just showed up to be like, hello, this is David.
That's it. Bowie was like, I'm not sitting here.
Have a Merry Christmas.
In and out.
Then it's 1, 2, 3, 4.
Boom.
Feed the world.
Yeah. Love
Let
it.
Them know it's Christmas time.
You know who should have been in that?
Who?
The lead singer from fucking The Cure. That's sad, man.
Maybe he was. I don't know. That's sad, man.
Look up who sang in that. I want to know. I want to know how many English. How many English singers?
Robert Cool Bell from Cool and the Gang.
Okay.
Bono.
Well, obviously.
Pete Briquette from the Boomtown Rats.
Okay.
Adam Clayton from U2.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Collins.
Of course.
Chris Cross.
Okay. Okay.
Simon Crow.
I know who that is.
Sarah Dallin.
Okay.
Siobhan Fahey from Bananarama.
Of course.
Johnny Fingers.
Hey, you needed a
lot of people from Boomtown Rats.
Well, I mean, it was a big band.
Bob Geldof, also from Boomtown Rats. Boy George. Glenn Gregory.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Headley. John Keeble.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Kemp.
Wow. A lot of singers.
Martin Kemp.
Okay, they're brothers.
Simon Laban.
Okay.
From Duran Duran.
Yeah.
Marilyn.
I don't know who that is.
Don't know who that is. George Michael.
Okay.
John Moss.
Okay.
From Culture Club. Steve Norman. Rick Parfait. Nick Rhodes. Francis Rossi. Janice Rossi, apartment 5B. Did you know you have a whore who lives in this building? Sting.
Okay.
Andy Taylor. James J.T. Taylor. John Taylor. Roger Taylor. Dennis Thomas. Midge Urge, Martin Ware, Jody Watley, Paul Weller.
Jody Watley, Shalimar. Big shout out to Joe So Delicious. One time for you, Pop. You love Shalimar.
Karen Woodward, Paul Young. And then people who just speak are David Bowie, Holly Johnson, Stuart Adamson, Mark Brzezicki, Tony Butler, Paul McCartney.
Done.
Feed the world, Emilio.
Let them know it's Christmas time.
What's your number one, sir?
All right. See, it was always going to be something from the Charlie Brown Christmas album.
Because you like to slit your wrists around Christmas time?
What are you talking about? Jazz is amazing.
Yeah, but Charlie Brown is all about sadness.
But the O Tannenbaum, Christmas time is here. Like, how can you not?
Christmas time is here. Even I'm getting the rope ready.
But even the...
I'm standing up on a stool.
Nah, man, you're nuts. Vince Guaraldi is probably... to me, the definition of Christmas and soundtrack for a television show is that album.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch.
It is, no. It fucking bodies that.
Mean one, Mr. Grinch.
It bodies the Grinch. That's a better album.
Mm.
It's a better album because it sonically, from soup to nuts, has that Vince Guaraldi sound.
Okay.
Specifically with that style of jazz, and he was a left-handed pianist. So he had a completely different sound because he was left-handed. So, and it's difficult to be a pianist playing jazz left-handed.
I see.
If you listen to that album,
yes, sir.
You will never hear another album sonically that sounds like that, even if you listen to Christmas jazz. Even people try to cover,
yes, sir,
those songs. You won't hear it. So Christmas time is here. Dude, you're nuts.
But I find it depressing.
Why?
Because
it's little children singing. How could
no? Because
how is that more depressing than Feed the World?
Charlie Brown is all about giving into the ennui of depression and sadness. Peanuts is all about realizing the uselessness of life and hope.
I mean, it's existentialism. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but that's what it's supposed to be. But the music has nothing to do with that.
I think it sets the feel.
Of course it sets the feel. But if you're listening to it just to listen out of context,
yeah,
and you're just listening to O Tannenbaum,
yeah,
dude, that shit slaps.
All right.
Slaps. Why don't you listen to it? And then, like, you next
time
I see
you... You've never heard this shit?
I know, but why don't you actually, like, give it a fucking chance?
I give it a chance. This is PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here with Emilio Sparks. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back, and we're going to talk about...
Who the fuck knows? Whatever now.
Sesame Street.
Now he's just shitting all over my hat.
Okay. Welcome back to PCMC. Ho, ho, ho,
ho.
It's Christmas time. So what we're going to talk about in this segment is something, Emilio, you suggested. Something I didn't know existed, but I tell you what, it might be part of my every year Christmas from now on.
That's what I'm here for, pal.
Christmas Eve on Sesame Street.
How you doing?
From 1978.
How you doing?
Won a Emmy?
Yes, it did. It won an Emmy for Outstanding Children's Programming. John Stone was the producer.
I'm going to say it fucking deserved that Emmy. When you sent this to me, I thought, okay, this is going to be cute, whatever. It's probably going to have some boring parts.
No, no, nothing I send you is boring.
From top to bottom, I was entertained.
Soup to nuts. It's amazing.
It's tight. Yeah. It's good. It gives you a lot of the different flavors of early Sesame Street.
Oh, my. Can before we even get into this, can we talk about how good early Sesame Street is compared to the bullshit that it is now?
Early Sesame Street is... It reminds me almost like of early Saturday Night Live. It's raw and dirty.
It's fucking jazz, daddy. It's jazz,
it
daddy.
It really is. You see people making mistakes, but it just... Oh, it's just... It's got a fucking grain to it. It's so good. Oh.
It's the children's version of Taxi Driver.
It really is. You can fucking smell the 70s all over it.
Yeah, man. You could tell those puppeteers were high on something.
Absolutely.
They were doing some shit.
You had the OG people there.
Yeah, you had the one that just died that was playing fucking Big Bird and Oscar
the
Grouch.
Oh, we should say rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Kyle Spinney.
I love him.
Kyle Spinney, Big Bird and Oscar the Grouch.
Doing double work.
You bet.
Doing
so
double
good.
Work in certain scenes.
Yeah. It opens up, I don't think the opening's great. It opens up with them on ice.
That's a little weird.
And I was afraid that was going to be what it all was.
No, I wasn't sending you Sesame on Ice.
But it sort of begins that way.
It's an intro.
But it's clearly
they're
like...
It's supposed to be ice skating in New York City.
But it's weird because it's like... They'll do a whole bit. It's like goes on for like 20 minutes. There'll be credits and then a whole bit. And then you'll be like,
minutes.
Oh, is this the show?
It was 10 minutes.
And then there'll be more credits. You'll be like, holy shit, we're still doing this?
Well, there's a lot of work that needed to be done for that.
Also, you can tell it's not the real puppet. It looks like on ice characters.
You can't have puppet skating.
But, you know, you can't break the fucking... The diegesis that way.
Yes, you can.
You can't have a scene in the beginning where it's clearly like two professional skaters in Bert and Ernie costumes and then cut to real Bert and Ernie in their apartment. You can't do it.
You can.
It's the weakest part of it.
All right. Well, listen. They weren't perfect.
But let's talk about... There's so many... There's various plots going on.
So, okay. So, what do you want to talk about the main plot?
Let's talk about the main plot.
Okay. So, explain to the listener what the plot is.
So... In a very brutal scene, they cut from Oscar the Grouch's ice skating, and his they do this thing where his feet come out the bottom and you can't see his head.
Yeah, which I never knew, but that's how it actually is. He technically lives in the can, but he can take the can wherever he wants.
I wasn't familiar with that, but he's skating.
Yeah, he is.
And then he fucking, like, flies out of the fucking ring, down, like, 10 flights of stairs, brutally, out a fucking window.
Yep.
It's brutal. And then they're like, oh, my God, are you okay, Oscar? And he's like, ah, that's great. Let's do it again. So then Oscar, stern as shit like always,
that's what he's supposed
says to,
be to doing.
Fucking Big Bird, Hey, Bird. If Santa Claus is so fat, how can he fit down the chimney?
Now.
He plants the seed of doubt in Big Bird's head.
Which you would think they would have went a completely different way because right. That's what Sesame Street was. They were real back then.
Yeah.
They were fucking real.
Yeah.
I thought they would have went... Santa Claus ain't real.
But I feel like that's the subtext of what he's asking.
Yeah.
It never becomes a question that's said outright, but Big Bird's existential breakdown throughout this special, where he almost dies in it, He freaks out because he's like, well, if he can't fit down the chimney, how are the little kids going to get toys? There's going to be no Christmas. And he freaks out.
Well, then what he does is he takes it to the streets.
Right.
Right. He goes to the people on the street.
He sees Kermit.
He sees Kermit and he sees Grover.
Yes.
And he's like, hey, listen, I need your help. We need to go talk to children. And they know because the kids know.
Right.
Obviously, kids know how Santa Claus gets down the chimney.
Yeah.
I mean. You know, I don't know now. Judging by the conversation we had in the previous segment, going down the chimney is code for anal sex.
Hey,
but and how does he do it? In an attempt to figure out what's the best course of action.
Kermit says, "Well, we'll go ask children," and this is a way to set up classic early Sesame Street. The segments where it would be kids, genuine kids talking unscripted.
It was so next level. It was like, all right, we're just going to film them. We're going to let them go.
Let them say crazy kid shit.
And it was just long rambles.
Yeah, but it would be funny.
Yeah. Because kids say the darndest things.
You're right. And the Muppets would react like, what the fuck are you talking about, kid?
Yeah, because they're the adults.
Yeah. So there's no answers there.
No, never.
There's one kid who's like the main kid in this special, who's Patty. Who, I'm gonna be honest, I don't know what Patty's gender was. But Patty was like Big Bird's right-hand man in this.
Even back then, they were woke.
You fucking bet they were. And Snuffleupagus is trying to... Everyone's trying to help Big Bird as he's basically freaking out.
Yeah.
He's having a trip right now.
Well, you know, then you're forgetting one crucial part.
Yeah.
You know, he... And Snuffleupagus try to reenact going down the chimney.
Right.
And Snuffy is just so big that he can't go down the tree.
Right.
But he's a Snuffleupagus. He's not Santa Claus. So obviously the attempt to go down the tree is going to be unsuccessful.
Right. And he gets three of his legs in a garbage can because they're like trying to like model it. Like, okay, how can he do this? So Snuffy gets three legs in a garbage can. The camera cuts away from him. And then he gets the fourth leg in. So there's puppet shit going on.
Of course there's puppet shit.
Going on.
Yeah.
It's not so slick.
No.
No CG. Not 1970 fucking 8. We're only a year after Star Wars.
Yes.
Okay? Now tell us about the B plot, the Bert and Ernie plot.
Well, listen. Bert and Ernie want to give each other gifts for Christmas.
Yes.
But they have no money.
Yep.
So Bert trades away the prized paperclip. It's his favorite thing, like, from his collection.
Right.
To buy pink soap for Ernie's rubber ducky.
No, to buy a pink soap dish. To put his rubber ducky off.
Yes.
It's basically the same plot as the Honeymooners Christmas episode.
Never wait, though. But in a twist, Ernie barters rubber ducky to get Bert a cigar box for the paper clips.
But that's what happens in Honeymooners. Now, I'll give it a pass because I bet even before Honeymooners, this tale had to be a bit.
Yeah, it had to be a bit.
It's got
to
be like an old folk tale of like, basically, I give up the thing I had for you, and your gift to me is something that supports my thing that I gave up, and you give up something you love for me, and it's all about love.
And now Mr. Hooper.
So good to see Mr. Hooper.
Right?
OG
character. Now, I don't think a lot of cats listening to PCMC know who Mr. Hooper is.
Well, fucking learn yourself.
You should get on the Googs because that was, spoiler alert, not in this episode.
He dies.
But he passes away on Sesame Street.
And they deal with it in the show.
In a very good way, too.
Yeah.
I actually watched it.
I've seen clips. I haven't watched it all the way through.
A tear or two may have...
They dealt with it.
...caught my eye.
You know what's interesting about Mr. Hooper?
What?
Talking about diversity. He's Jewish. And there's a scene where... what's his name? Bob.
Good old Bob.
Good old Bob. Oh, talk about original. Bob is like, hey, Mr. Hooper, happy Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And it's like a nice little like, there's diversity here on the street.
Yeah, on the cess.
Yeah.
So yeah, he realizes what's going on.
Right, because they don't have money, so they're making trades.
So they're trading to Hooper.
Right, so they're like, Mr. Hooper, I don't have any money
because
for
the
soap dish.
He owned the store that everybody went to on the street.
Right.
Everybody on that neighborhood was going, like, it was like pre-bodega.
Mm. And you can, apparently you could barter with him.
You could.
You can give him your rubber ducky for a cigar box that Bert can put his collection of
paper clips in. Yeah.
And then Mr. Hooper
realizes what's going on, gives them their treasured possessions back as a Christmas present.
Yes, and everybody's happy.
Now wait, there's also a third plot.
You fucking bet there is. Oh, the Cookie Monster one?
Oh, yeah.
This one's ridiculous, but I kind of love it.
They had to be on coke when they wrote this.
It had to be. Oh, it's insane. It's so crazy.
But it's so well done. Like, each story fucking weaves, though.
Yeah.
Like, the way the narrative went from, like, I thought they were going to Tarantino it and just go into, like, you know, out of context shots or whatever. No. But it all flows, man.
So, Cookie is writing a letter to Santa. And he's asking for cookies.
Of course. What else is he going to get?
But as he's describing the cookies he wants, he gets hungry and he loses fucking control.
He eats the pencil.
And he eats the pencil.
Yeah.
Cut to again. Now he's got a typewriter. I'm gonna use a typewriter to write
Santa.
He eats
the fucking typewriter.
He eats the typewriter piece by fucking piece.
He's hungry.
He eats the keys first.
Yeah.
Then he eats the fucking the ink ribbon.
Yep.
And it, the way that they made the prop to come apart was really awesome. And then what was the last thing he did?
He ate the telephone.
Oh, right, because he calls them. Because
he gets the number.
They look like two muffins, and he eats them.
And he eats the muffins. So then, now he's defeated, and he's probably disgusted with himself because of his lack of self-control.
He's got so much inanimate shit in his
belly.
Body. He's going to be farting blood for weeks.
I think he's going to shit blood.
Yeah.
He goes to the Robinson's house, Gordon and Sue.
Oh,
I love
more
Gordon
OG.
Oh,
the OG humans, man.
Oh, they're amazing. Gordon and Sue were the best.
Yeah.
They were like the married couple. They were the voice of reason.
Yeah.
Like, they were great.
Yeah.
So he goes there and tells them, listen, I can't get in contact with Santa. What should I do? Gordon, being the OG that he is, suggests leaving cookies for Santa.
And this was a genuine laugh for me, because when he says you can leave him cookies, there's like a close-up of Cookie Monster, and you hear like a dun-dun-dun.
It was like this, what?
Like, it's the worst possible idea to give away cookies.
Yeah. I'm asking for cookies, but let me give away cookies in order to get in contact with Santa so he can leave me cookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That wraps up, too, in a good way.
Yes, it does.
So, getting back to the main plot, Big Bird decides, you know what? Even though it's cold and it's snowing, I'm going to leave my comfortable, warm nest, and I'm going to go up on the fucking roof of the apartment building.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait and see how the fuck he does this.
He fucking Linuses it.
Yes, he does.
He's like, I'm going to wait for fucking Santa Claus. And it's snowing. It's fucking coming down on him. He's falling asleep. He's shivering.
There was no global warming in 1978.
He's dying. He's going to die of cold.
Hypothermia.
While that's happening, fucking all the other characters are like, where's Big Bird?
He's
we can't
lost.
Find Big Bird. Everyone goes crazy looking
for
Big Bird.
Maria's trying to find him. OG Maria.
Oh, God, did I love her.
Right?
Oh, she's beautiful.
She's great.
Maria, now she's angry. She gives the shit to Oscar.
Oh,
she's like, look what you fucking stirred
you
up.
You piece of shit.
You motherfucking grouch.
You asshole.
And he's like, to his credit, he's like, all right, I'll find Bird.
Yeah.
Let
me fix this.
She's like, pick me up and set me. So she picks him up. His little green legs come out the bottom.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what the best part of the special was, right?
What?
No fucking Elmo.
No Elmo.
No fucking Elmo
at
all.
Fuck him, God.
Fuck him. He would have just, he would have ruined it.
And there was no Telly, which I like too.
No.
Fucking hate Telly.
So they're looking for him everywhere. They can't find him.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Yeah. I mean, it's Christmas Eve.
We got Hooper out looking for him. We got Bob out looking for him. No one knows. No one figures he went up to the fucking roof. By the way, he turns around and at one point his tail feather hits the door. And did you think he was going to accidentally close the door and lock himself out?
Yes.
That doesn't happen.
I know.
But I thought that was going to happen.
Same.
At some point he wakes up and he's got like an ice fucking icicle coming from his beak.
Yep.
And he says something about, I don't know how penguins do this. A little bird humor for you. So he's like, I'm going to go downstairs. I'm just going to warm up a little bit.
Still teaching the kids.
Yeah. So he goes downstairs. They see him. Oh, my God. Big Bird, where you been? Blah, blah. He's like, guys, I'm fucking freaking out. I don't know what to do.
I can't figure this out. I couldn't stay up there anymore. He regrets leaving the roof.
He's like, I got to go back like a crackhead. He's like, I got to go back.
I got to figure this out.
Gordon says, no. Drags him into the house. Yep. And what do they find in Gordon's apartment?
Well,
beautiful scene. There's the tree is all made up nice.
But you got to remember, though, before that, Big Bird is literally having this existential crisis where now he's dispelling all of the holidays. What about the Easter Bunny?
Right. Yes.
You know what I mean? He's starting to fret about holidays all over again.
Well, no, that's fucking Oscar. He can't let sleeping dogs lie. He goes, now that you're okay, let me ask you about fucking the Easter Bunny.
Yeah, he's fucking with
him. He's a piece of shit.
Yeah, but then. Yeah. But then he comes to his senses.
Yeah.
And what happens?
Well, you see in the scene where Cookie Monster is talking to
the Robinsons,
The tree's there, but it's not set up. When they pull Big Bird into the apartment, the tree's set up beautiful. There are presents everywhere. And he's like, look. Gordon's like, look.
Santa Claus came.
Now, here's my problem with this whole plot. It's teaching children to not question things or use fucking logic. Just shut your mouth.
No, I think that the wonderment of children's imaginations was what cemented in the beginning when they were doing the man on the street question.
It is trying to... It's got a Christian agenda. It's trying to
I don't think it has a Christian agenda at all.
Big Bird was this close to becoming an atheist.
Yes, he was.
And the show's like, nope, don't you fucking nope.
No. I shouldn't say atheist because there was no talk of religion and or God.
Yeah, but once you lose Santa, it's a slippery slope.
You just become a grown up and then you realize that you're gonna die.
Yeah, but that's not a far cry from God.
But we also got to remember, too, this is a children's show.
I know, but what I'm saying is it's teaching you something bad.
Is it really teaching something
it's
bad?
It's saying don't fucking question. Because is Big Bird's question ridiculous?
No, it's a logical question.
How does this fat man...
But nobody's given an answer, though.
And he's taught to not look for an answer.
The only answer... Well, no, he looked through answers through the scope of the child.
And what happened? He almost died.
Well, that was because he decided to wait on the roof like an idiot.
That's
he
what they're saying.
He should have just waited. He should have just talked with the kids.
They're saying if the you kids look were for given, answers, you're going
to
die.
I beg to differ. I think the kids were given the most logical explanations.
Go back to sleep, sheeple. That's maybe what it's saying.
Maybe. Maybe. maybe just because, you know, the way you found out Santa Claus wasn't real.
I don't remember how I found out Santa Claus was in
I know how I found out.
How did you find out?
Accidentally, I walked upstairs in our apartment when we had an attic. It was like a big living attic.
Yeah.
And all the presents were
You found them.
Yeah. By accident. I mean, I didn't go and look and run to see what was up there, but you know.
I think I figured it out because that? And this maybe shows the sort of roots of my Marxism. I think I figured it out because wealthier kids got more than me. And I was like, well, why does that kid with the big house get all these things? And I got the little apartment and I get beautiful. We had beautiful Christmases. I've got no complaint. But the fucking rich kids got way more. And I think.
But they didn't get love.
That kid's fucking naughty.
Well,
I know that kid's fucking naughty.
Well, he didn't get love.
Why is he getting so much shit?
He was rewarded with gifts, but he didn't get love.
No, you're right. And I think that's how. And then I was like, you know what? I gotta seize the means of production.
Yeah, I got to control the narrative.
Yeah, at 7, I did that.
Okay. But then what happens at the end of Sesame Street Christmas?
What does happen?
Cookie Monster eats the fucking tree.
Oh, that's right.
Because he has no self-control.
Yeah. Back in the old days, he really had no self-control.
He was a drug addict.
He really is.
He was an addict.
He can't even talk about cookies without eating whatever's around
him. He's an addict.
He really is.
That's what happens. And but they're not enabling him.
No,
if anything,
they're not.
They're trying to wean him off the cookies.
Yeah. They could be doing a better job.
Well, I mean, back in the 70s.
Yeah. We also had in this episode Linda, who was the deaf woman who would use ASL to communicate.
Yep.
And Bob would use ASL to speak to her.
Yep. God, Sesame Street was so good.
It really was fucking great. Now, there are songs in this.
Yes, there was Feliz Navidad.
Yes.
With Jose Feliciano. There was I Hate Christmas, sung by Oscar the Grouch.
That's my favorite song. I Hate Christmas. Again, because it goes there. He's like, he hates Christmas.
Yes.
And he's going to tell you about it.
Now, how cute was Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas sung by Bert and Ernie?
That was a good one. I like that.
I love it, man. I love it. What about, True Blue Miracle sung by the entire gang at the skating party back at Sesame Street?
I did not love that one.
What about Keeping Christmas With You sung by Bob and Linda?
I enjoyed that one.
Then being accompanied by the little children.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that.
So I want to ask
you. How did you hear about this special? I'm sorry.
Okay, so I was in, oh God, what state was I in when Sesame Street turned
50?
50 this year. I was in Bakersfield, California.
Bakersfield.
And I was having a conversation with one of the wrestlers, and we were talking about Sesame Street. And he was like, dude, you got to watch this. And I was blown away that he was even a Sesame Street fan.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
what did we do?
You watched it with him?
We had time. We sat and watched Sesame Street together.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that I didn't know of it.
I'm shocked because you're a Muppet head.
I know. I'm ashamed of myself. But it hits every note. It might be on my new list of favorite Christmas specials, because there's no dragging part of it, other than the beginning with the ice skating. But I think I could stand it now that I know that it's not the whole thing.
So now it kind of reminds me of the Who Shot First with Han and the dude sitting in Tatooine, where they
Greedo.
Where they have like various like re-airings and edits of the.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah, they cut out I Hate Christmas. Nickelodeon did.
Why?
I don't know.
Too negative for them?
Yeah. And then there was also another one where they edited out, re-edited it, and then, you know, took it out again, but then added some other stuff with it where Cookie Monster ate most of the Robinson's tree. But they did that in the 80s, but now it's back in the full scene.
I wonder why they did that.
I don't know.
Maybe just for time?
I think it was because of time.
But taking out Oscar the Grouch song, I don't think that's for time. I think that's... That sounds like a content reason.
Yeah, I think. Well, it's also 60 Minutes and, you know, Oscar singing I Hate Christmas, but...
Yeah.
I mean,
But it's my favorite song.
It's good, man. It's good. Outstanding. And this was the better version. And then they did another one that aired on CBS, but it was equally as shitty, and it wasn't done with the Children's Television Workshop. I think they just rented the rights to the characters. And then... Like CBS hired their own writers. See, nope. me and the wrestler fell into a huge rabbit hole about that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, can you say who the wrestler was that liked this? Milo's saying no, he can't. He signed an NDA. So, I loved it. And you know what?
What?
I love you.
I love you too, buddy.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Michael.
Have a Happy New Year.
You too.
From all of us here at PCMC,
there's a whole crew of individuals that make this show run. You wouldn't know them.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, Happy Solstice, whatever it is you enjoy and whatever you celebrate. Let me quote Doctor Who by saying, "We're halfway out of the darkness." This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined with Emilio Sparks.
Yes, sir.
You can find PCMC anywhere podcasts are available.
It's amazing.
You can follow PCMC at Pop Culture Man Children on Insta. And you can follow Emilio Sparks at Emilio Sparks.
Yeah, everywhere.
On Tinder, Bumbler.
Yeah, Tinder, Bumbler. Plenty of fish.
Okay, Cupe?
No. I'm on Coffee and Bagels, though.
What's that one?
It's probably the worst one of them all, too. Coffee and bagels. Coffee meets bagel. It's the worst.
But is it all just New York people?
Well, you gotta again, it goes everywhere. It's just based on your algorithm and where you are.
So why is it called coffee?
Coffee meets bagel. I have no idea why.
If it were like hot dog meets bagel, I'd be like, I get it.
Yeah, I get it. No, it's coffee meets bagel. I'm trying to find love. My person.
And on that note, we end every episode by quoting the great animal. Go bye-bye.